Welcome to Fellowship Talks, your weekly connection to the life and ministry of Fellowship Bible Church. It is our desire that this podcast will reinforce your worship on Sundays and encourage you as you live your life for Christ this week. Here are your hosts, Dan Schaefer and Amy Scrivanos.
Welcome to Fellowship Talks. This is the podcast made specifically for Fellowship Bible Church in Central Arkansas. We are one church in multiple locations. We have campuses in Cabot, Benton, soon to be Midtown, West Little Rock, and we even have our Espanol campus here on the West Little Rock campus. My name is Dan Schaefer, and it is good to be with you today. I'm here, as always, with my Fellowship Talks co-host, Amy Scrivanos.
Hey, everyone.
Amy, we're well into summer now, aren't we?
We are, yes.
Things are rolling here around the church.
They are, yeah. And we've got a lot going on, and we've got a lot going on with the podcast as well.
That's right, yeah. So last week, you heard on the podcast Dale Fuller, just as we re-aired a little bit of what he shared at Dwell 2018. Mm-hmm. Next week, you're going to get a chance to hear from one of our missions partners in India. Mm-hmm. We recorded some episodes with some mission partners while they were here in the spring, and we're really excited to share those with you. So you'll hear a missions partner in India next week, and then another one. And you heard the Lucians a few weeks ago. So this is really cool stuff.
Yeah, it is. And there's a lot going on just in our church with mission trips. And I know FSM has United. And I just got back from Rwanda.
You just got back from Rwanda. Yes. My wife was with you on that trip. So we're going to have to get you guys to talk about Rwanda a little bit.
That's right. Yeah.
And Sunday mornings, we're walking through the Minor Prophets and the Relentless Love series and getting a look at some of these books that a lot of people in our church just haven't read before.
Yeah. And do you want to tell people about our new t-shirts?
Fellowship Talks t-shirts.
So fun.
That's all I need to say, right?
That's all you need to say.
Yeah. So every time we have a guest on Fellowship Talks, they're going to get a t-shirt. So our guest today will get a t-shirt. And if people want to buy these t-shirts from us, they'll be about $15. And but if you want a free t-shirt, come tell us a story of what God's doing in your life here on Fellowship Talks.
That's right. Yeah.
So today here on Fellowship Talks, we want to talk with someone who is no stranger to us here at Fellowship. Paul Kroger is joining us, and we wanted to talk with Paul this morning about Upward Soccer. He's wrapping up the spring and the summer season of Upward, and just one of the most effective outreach tools that Fellowship has here in Little Rock. Paul, welcome to Fellowship Talks.
Hey, listen, I'm jazzed to be here, not just with you two, which are so special, but the t-shirt. I mean, seriously, come on.
You are going to get a Fellowship Talks t-shirt.
Did you even know that? We told you
yet? Of course not. Yeah,
now you have to wear it so people see it. And
oh,
you can
of course
tell
I'll wear it.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, just get the right size. That's all.
So, Paul, why don't you start telling us a little bit about who you are and how long you've been connected with Fellowship Bible Church?
Wow, there's a story.
Okay. There we go.
So I moved to Arkansas in the fall of 1981. It was October. And
yeah, that was before I was born.
Thank you, Dan. Oh, that's really good. I grew up as a farm boy in Nebraska. My dad's dream for his kids, there were six of us, that we'd come back and be a part of the family farm. So when I graduated from high school, I went to the University of Nebraska in the 70s and got my undergraduate degree in agriculture and education and was living out kind of my dad's dream by coming back to the family farm. But at the time that I was in college, my first semester, God was so gracious to connect me with an organization that at the time was called Campus Crusade for Christ, which now, of course, you know as CRU. Mm-hmm. And that God used to really transform my life. I was a believer already. I became a believer in 1968. Yeah, now that, I know that's way back.
That was before I was born.
I didn't even know.
Thank you.
I didn't know that day was on the calendar.
Yeah. But I had a lot of wandering between 68 and the mid 70s, when 75, when I got involved with Campus Crusade. And yet God had given me, through my involvement with Crusade, really great training and yet and role models, but He planted a seed in my heart for a transcendent purpose for life. And so I knew that no matter where I went, whether I was going to teach in school or whether I was going back to our family farm and business, I wanted to make a difference for the kingdom. And so when I went back to our family farm, That was really foremost in my mind. And so I led our junior high and senior high program at church for a number of years. I had a Bible study that involved kids from four different high schools in our small rural community that came to our home. I was single at the time on Sunday evenings. But I found myself really just living for those moments of direct spiritual conversation. And I also found myself needing more training. And so I'm going to make this short, but I had began to pray about, was it seminary or was it more practical experience with an organization like CRU at the time? So I decided to give CRU a whirl. And when I went to their training at Colorado State University at Fort Collins, I met a guy by the name of Dennis Rainey. And that was in the summer of 1981. Dennis had asked if I would be interested in joining this new kind of fledgling ministry, just a mom-and-pop ministry called Family Life. At the time, it was even called Family Ministry. There were 10 people when I joined their staff, and so here I was, a single guy who joined this family ministry and brought me to Arkansas in 1981.
Yeah, well, good to have you.
Yeah, and so part of that, thank you, part of that journey was that my first stop when I came into town, it was early on Sunday morning. I'd driven all Saturday night, all night long from Nebraska. And I pulled into this place called Pulaski Academy because Dennis and Barbara were going to be leaving a church at about that time for lunch. And it was Fellowship Bible Church. Mm. So that was my first connection in the fall of 1981. So a long time ago.
So did you then jump in at Fellowship as your church home as you moved here?
Yeah, I did the kind of almost just obligatory church search, and I found some really good churches here in town. But the DNA of Fellowship, which goes back, if you know the story of Fellowship in 77, back to the roots really of, at the time, CRU, or Campus Crusade for Christ, it just matched exactly what I was looking for.
Yeah.
And I wanted that kind of revolutionary, very different, authentic, intimate, small group kind of concept that was at the genesis of Fellowship. It was an easy decision.
So fast forward a little bit, when did you come on staff then with Fellowship?
Now, that was a great segue. I came on staff in 97.
In 97.
Yeah.
What kind of roles have you held at Fellowship?
Oh, you know, it's been pretty simple. I started in August of 97 and was brought on as children's pastor. All of these are such, you know, long stories, but that was my role for 12 and a half years.
Question about that. Did you have a good assistant starting out? I want to know if you were well assisted.
Do you remember
in your
who
ministry?
Your assistant was?
I had several. Actually, I had four at the time. But I tell you, God has blessed me with some awesome colleagues. And among that was this young girl by the name of Amy Jarvis, who is just had come off the college campus at U of A, who had been a cheerleader and who was just full of energy. And she was also just starstruck by a gentleman. His name is Marty Skrivanos. And before long, they were married. And so Amy, those were great years.
I loved how you inserted yourself into the
story.
But this is Paul's story.
Oh, right. But I do have to say those were some really fun years working together with
totally.
Paul. So, yes.
Yeah, we had a fantastic team.
So children's ministry?
Yep.
What after that?
Yeah, well, in 2010, approximately, I was asked if I would do recreational outreach full-time. And that kind of weaves into the story of where we're headed really with sports and sports outreach and upward sports. But I'm going to dial back just a little bit to my vision for as children's pastor and for our children, okay? And, you know, it's interesting because the vision starts with just my own household and my kids, and then it kind of expands beyond that to hundreds of others that have been involved with Fellowship over the years. But I wanted my kids to have a reason for being, a reason to live for a cause that was greater than themselves, and just like I did for my own life. And I saw that to achieve what really God wants us to achieve, we all have a spiritual toolbox, you know, once we decide to follow Christ. And he wants to fill that toolbox with really important tools. And so part of that for children was to learn how to study the Bible and, you know, recognize who God is and learn to love God, the awesome God of our, you know, creation, mm-hmm. and the lover of our souls. So it was loving him. And then, like in Matthew 22, 37 through 40, you know, it's just loving other people as well. Mm. But that also requires us to serve others. So it's one thing to say that, kind of a religious platitude almost, but it's another thing to do it. So how do you shape a curriculum and then a life plan for children that from toddlers through sixth grade that helps complement and fill that toolbox with tools? Well, one of the things that we didn't have was that we didn't have something that was a practical way of helping teach evangelism. So we had great curriculum, you know, just wonderful, challenging environments to learn in. But in 98, I'd only been there for about 6 months in this role. I thought, you know, we had just finished building a new building that was called the Fellowship Student Center. And of course, now it's owned by Pulaski Academy. Mm-hmm. But there was a friend of mine who is our FSM or student ministries pastor at the time. His name is Mark DeMoz, had a vision for building this center that would be a place to gather in the community. So not only would it be a resource for our student ministry, which was burgeoning at the time, just really growing, but it was really a place where kids could come and just hang out. Mm-hmm. Kind of on the early cusp of the coffee shop kind of era. Mm-hmm. And so along with that, then I went to Mark and I said, Mark, I'm in love with this facility. It had four basketball courts in it. It had a coffee shop, a cafe. It was amazing. I said, could I use this to help our kids learn how to communicate their faith in a non-threatening way through this thing that we call sports? Mm-hmm. You know, it's the largest affinity group in our culture.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. I grew up playing sports too.
I know, you and Amy both. I mean, seriously, sports and athletics has been a mm-hmm. big part of your lives, mm-hmm. like mm-hmm. so many people.
Yeah.
And even whether you don't play, mm-hmm. you know, it's an opportunity because you cheer for your team. And I think it's so amazing how God allows us to use things where we build common ground with one another, like mm-hmm. sports. You find somebody who shares the same sports enthusiast for your team. Mm-hmm. And 5 to 10 minutes into cheering for your team, if you're guys, you're chest butting. If you're ladies, you're maybe high-fiving. You're going, mm. I don't even know this person.
Yeah. And although you moved to Little Rock before I was even born, I've mixed it up with you on the basketball court. And Paul, you still have it on the basketball court. You can still play. You still got that shot.
You're very kind. Yeah.
So you stepped into sports ministry here at Fellowship and kind of taken on a life of its own, but we're at Upward Soccer now. Can you tell us a little bit about Upward Soccer?
Sure. You know, we're 20 years into this journey with doing sports, mm-hmm. sports camps, summer sports. You know, it's been fabulous. When we moved to the new campus, we didn't have an indoor or sports arena. So mm-hmm. that really caused us to kind of step back. We did just a little dreaming and thought, we've got some land, 11 acres, that we could mm-hmm. use, kind of reshape, and we could make some fields out of that, and we could do some sports. Now, mm-hmm. I'd never played soccer in my life. Okay? I had watched a little bit of it. But this is where whoever you are, when God places you in a position and gives you an opportunity, don't say no right away. You know, just be contemplative, pray about it. And he has used the whole sport of soccer to take us to an entirely new level mm-hmm. of audience of who we reach here at Fellowship. And we've had now, this is our 10th year that we just finished. So we've had 20 years of sports, 10 years of soccer, and the soccer years have been just amazing.
Mm-hmm. And I said at the beginning, introducing you, that Upward Soccer is one of our largest outreach tools here at Fellowship. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, you know, we've over the years, we've had over between 40 and 50,000 people that have come to our games and that have been involved. Is that not awesome?
That's amazing.
That is amazing. 40 to 50,000 people. Yeah.
Yeah, and so we average on our game days between 2,000 and 2,500 that come and just kind of roll through on a Saturday morning.
Uh-huh.
But participating, like this year, we had 493 children, ages or grades from age 5 through 6th grade,
mm-hmm.
boys and girls. We had 58 teams. We've got, of course, scores of volunteers, 139 this year, on and on, but... I guess to answer your question is that, you know, it's been the breadth of it isn't just numbers, but the breadth of it is diversity. It's people that don't believe in God, people that are casually involved with God because they were born in America. Mm-hmm. So they're a Christian because you're born in America. And then the international audience is amazing because of their love for the sport of soccer.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so we have people that are Arabic and Indian that are, you know, again, just a reflection of our neighborhood here at Fellowship. It's just you know, Asian.
So how many people would you say are from our church that participate in Upward Soccer, and how many people are outside of our church?
I can tell you exactly.
All right, yeah.
Yeah. Well, it's amazing how this number has been static over the last several years, but 79% of the people that play with us and that attend don't go to Fellowship. 38% don't have a church affiliation. And you may say, well, how in the world do you know that? Well, when people register, they give us a church affiliation if they have one.
Yeah.
And so when we think about, you know, the vast majority of people that are out there on the fields on Saturday morning are people that aren't connected with us, but this is their first blush.
So I round up a lot, and sometimes my wife gives me a hard time because we've only been married 11 years, but I round up and tell people we've been married around 15 years all the time. So you said 38% of the people aren't affiliated with the church.
Right.
I'm rounding up. That's close to 40. That's pretty much 50% of the people coming to play Upward aren't associated with the church.
That's right.
In my mind, that's what I hear. That's incredible.
It really is. Yeah, what an outreach. And to think that it's not just an opportunity for those that are volunteering, but even, like you said, for the kids to get a vision for what it means to reach out and share their faith with their teammates that come alongside them. So the kids from our church that do know the Lord have that opportunity to be playing sports and be guided in a way that they're sharing their faith alongside leaders.
Definitely.
And yeah, that's
why
amazing.
Is Upward Soccer attractive to some people over some other soccer programs in the city?
Well, there's a couple of reasons that are just very practical. One is that it's more affordable.
Okay.
It's $95 or it's less if you register early. It's less if you have additional children that are playing. You know, there are discounts available, but that includes everything you need for the season. It's your uniform all the way from your reversible jersey and shorts and socks and water bottle and everything you need. So it's turnkey financially achievable for people. The other thing is it's family friendly. The schedule is one that's so unusual with children's sports where we give you the schedule in advance for the year, for the season, and you've got it. It doesn't change. It's static. One practice a week for an hour, one game for a week.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is my family's first year getting into any sport of any kind with our kids. And we prayed a lot over the times, and we're hoping our times lined up. But there were so many Saturday mornings where our kids would play, or our five-year-olds would play on one field, and all we would have to do is flip our chairs around to the field next to it and to watch our seven-year-old daughter play on that field. It was just a great setup for families.
Mm-hmm.
We have, in the midst of just the context for people that haven't been at a game, we have between 12 and 13 different fields that we use at Fellowship, all going on simultaneously. It's like, I just say, it's a 13-ring circus. And we've got the grill going and concessions and, you know, the smell of things cooking off the grill that are wafting over the field. It's music. It's just, it's a festival kind of atmosphere. Mm. But that goes back to, again, the primary reason The primary reason is creating opportunities for connection. Mm-hmm. And I want our children to see how, in a natural, non-threatening way, they can articulate their faith. So they're watching their coaches. They're watching their family. As you have a chance to be able to build a relationship and bridge, because we make it so easy to talk about spiritual things, since there's a mid-practice devotion at each practice, we're already talking about the Bible, its relevance to our lives, and we cover usually three different virtues throughout the course of the season. Each of them is tied to a Bible verse. And so that takes us, whether you're a Christian, Muslim, Hindu, Buddhist, doesn't make any difference. It just takes us to a point where our discussion is around this ancient book that's called the Bible.
Mm-hmm. Now, is every coach have faith in Jesus?
No.
So how do you get around that with coaches leading devotions?
And it's beautiful. I love it. It's, you know, it's intentional that we want as many people as possible, particularly that really understand the game, to help educate our participants. But we have somebody who on each team who may not know that much about soccer, but can serve as an assistant coach, and they have a solid walk with Jesus Christ. And so they're the ones that are handling the faith component, mid-practice devotions, and it becomes an opportunity for over a 9 to 10 week period where the coach, who may not have any faith affiliation, maybe a non-Christian religion, they have a chance to just listen in.
That's amazing. And Paul, I know that over the years, there have been so many people that have given their life to Christ through this. Is there a story in particular that stands out that you'd share with us?
You guys, I can't hardly keep from crying. The stories are just awesome. They're awesome.
Yeah.
Let me tell you about one. There was a guy who I had met years ago, and he was a vendor through some of the things that I needed within sports ministry. And he and his wife began to go to fellowship. As we developed a relationship over time, just a friendship, they struggled a lot in their life, like all of us do. They struggled in their marriage, just like me. They wrestled with kids and drugs and substance abuse and just on and on. But during the later years, they had an estranged relationship he did with his mother and his family. And his mom was diagnosed with terminal cancer and was going to be moved to hospice. And so he called me and he said, "Paul, I don't have a relationship with my mom, but would you go and would you be with her as they move her from the hospital to hospice?" This was on a Friday afternoon, and it was going to be that evening. And I just said, "Hey, I don't have anything on my calendar. I'll do it." So I drove down to Hot Springs, and I was a part of that experience. And I'm just going to use the name Sarah. And so Sarah and I had a great conversation. She'd been out a time or two on the fields even, and so had known about me and about the sports ministry that we had. And it quickly, the conversation segued to where she stood in a relationship with our awesome God. And it's just a great privilege. I mean, just an opportunity to talk with her for a couple hours about the most important things in life. And she trusted Christ. When the nurse came in to do her intake exam, she told the nurse immediately, she said, "You know, something just happened to me." She said, "I just became a Christian." And she began to tell her what had just occurred, and it was awesome. It was just one of those many experiences that I made the connection with her, like many other people do, because God gave us a chance to meet somebody and to talk about things of importance. So she passed away 3 days later. Kind of a cool story. If you'll give me just a second here. God woke me up at about, this is kind of mystical, so you know, if you're listening to this and you have a difficulty with kind of the mystic side of Christianity and the spiritual side of it, but guy just kind of prompted me at about 2 o'clock in the morning on a Wednesday morning. That was following the Friday. He said, you know, Sarah's going to die today, and you're going to have a chance to do the funeral. And I thought, that's really odd. Hmm. That's just really odd, but okay. And then God said, essentially, you know, it's not an audible voice. Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. Just God speaking in through mm-hmm. the Spirit in his still small mm-hmm. way. Mm-hmm. You know, he plants ideas and thoughts in our minds. And he just said, here's the message I want you to give. And I said, I'll do it. At about 7 o'clock that morning, I got a text from my friend. He said, Paul, my mom died. He said, would you be interested in doing her funeral? She didn't go to church. Mm. And I said, absolutely. I know what I'm going to say. It'd be a privilege. Mm. And I did. And I shared the gospel with two families who just really hadn't heard, hadn't heard the message. So I could go on and on.
Yeah.
Yes. Great stories.
Paul, this is what I hear from you. A guy who is first and foremost passionate about people meeting Jesus. Mm-hmm. And you use an avenue that is so normal for so many people in life, an avenue of sports, upward soccer, of playing a sport. And really, soccer is becoming a global sport anyway. Yes. And as it catches on in the U.S. more and more, we have such an avenue to share with people who Jesus is. And you, more than most any other person I know, have such an ability to relate with people mm-hmm. in just such a normal way and share your faith in such a confrontational way of, and matter of fact way of just, here's who Jesus is, here's what he's done in my life. And I think that you could really benefit from knowing who Jesus is too. So I want to say thanks for coming on Fellowship Talks just to share with us a little bit more about Upward Soccer. And the unique thing, Amy, we came to talk about Upward Soccer. We didn't talk a lot about Upward Soccer, so we're going to have Paul come back some other time.
That's right. Yeah, thanks, Paul, so much for being here and just sharing your heart for this ministry. It's been really a privilege to get to watch you lead this ministry for 20 years and see the way that the Lord has really blessed the efforts that you've put forth in that and the efforts of so many volunteers and others and the way that he's just moving through that ministry is so amazing.
And Paul, you always are looking for coaches and for volunteers to and you have a whole strategy around community involvement with Upward Soccer. So if people are listening to this podcast and are sparked, have an interest sparked, even for next year as we start walking into like fall and spring, getting ready for Upward Soccer, they can reach out to you and just ask more questions about how they can be involved and maybe be one of those coaches that doesn't really know a lot about soccer, but partners with someone who does, but doesn't know Jesus, right?
Absolutely. You know, one of the cool things too is that we have people that are in their 70s that have never coached soccer. But they're out there and they're helping cultivate the faith component. And it's just great. So it doesn't make any difference really who you are, what your age, what your gender. You know, there's great ways.
So they can reach out to you at pkroger@fellowshiponline.com, your email address here at the church. Paul, thanks for being with us today. Really appreciate you and what you're doing and your passion for Jesus.
That's a pleasure to be here.
Amy, we have a lot more coming this summer. We're releasing episodes every single week. Here on Fellowship Talks, all the way up into August. So as you're listening to Fellowship Talks, just sit back and enjoy these stories of what God is doing in and around our church this summer.
That's right.
Until next time, Fellowship, I'm Dan.
And I'm Amy.
For As You Go, this is Fellowship Talks.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Fellowship Talks. We hope this podcast will help you be a more effective disciple of Jesus Christ as you love God and you love others in your daily context. Fellowship Bible Church exists to make disciples who live by God's grace and for His glory at home and across the world.